Hello and welcome to Brussels Unplugged. I am Pietro Moro.
And I am Matteo Albania. And together we bring a commentary on Brussels as you have never heard.
Once a month on the 25th, we dig deep into what's happening in town with no strings attached. Just two chaps discussing their Brussels experience.
Rendezvous on the 25th of each month. On y va!
Let's go! Hello and welcome back to Brussels Unplugged. I'm Pietro Moro.
And I'm Matteo Albania.
And we're back in Brussels. It's a bit of a September, October looking day. I miss the summer days already in the beach, Matteo. I don't know about you, but tell me a bit about your holiday. You just got back literally this morning.
And already committed to record our new Brussels Unplugged episode. Yes, I'm just back from my holiday, and the highlight of my holidays, it was Brussels. No, I'm kidding. It was it was Brussels in the sense that for the first time in 12 years living here in Brussels, I got the chance to see the famous Brussels flower carpet, which is in Grand Place. And it is a flower decoration carpet laid out in the Grand Place, and it's on display only between the 15th and 17th of August. And as you can imagine, Pietro, very, very few expats are in those 3 days in Brussels. But I was
here. Actually, I missed it, unfortunately. I saw it on Instagram.
Exactly. You missed it, and I missed it for the last 12 years. But this time around, I was for 1 day back in Brussels in between my two holidays legs, and I got the chance to see it. And it was actually quite interesting. I had to queue for roughly an hour because online ticketing was sold out, so there was no chance to buy tickets online, so I had to queue. The price is €8. You get the chance to go up in the Brussels town hall building, and where you can have a really nice view over the carpet. But indeed, it was like around 3 p.m. on a Saturday, so there was a lot of tourists, and I had to queue for around 1 hour. Was it worth it? Yes, I have to say, since it was probably...
You queued for 1 hour. 1 hour.
Exactly. I queued for 1 hour to see a flower carpet. But since it was the first time in 12 years, and probably the last one...
done and done, eh?
Exactly. I was quite happy to finally had the chance to visit, and I recommend it to whoever is going to be in Brussels in those days, in the next years, to get a chance. And
but there was a specific theme this year, I believe, right, Matteo?
Yeah, the theme this year was Art Nouveau. As you know, there are some Art Nouveau buildings in Brussels, in Belgium. And let's give some hint to our listeners, but Art Nouveau is going to be the theme of our next episode that's going to be released in September with a very special guest who is going to talk to us about Art Nouveau.
Yeah, I'm very excited. I'm very excited because this person has really... Put Art Nouveau at the center of what she does outside. Oh, I already gave a little bit of a hint away. Bad on me, but maybe good.
Yes, indeed. But we are not going to say more about it. We're just going to ask our listeners to tune in on the 25th of September, so in a month time. But meanwhile, Pietro, how was your holiday time, and how was your coming back to Brussels?
Well, I went surfing, which was fantastic. The north of Spain, in the Basque Country, Zarautz. Went to eat in San Sebastian, and it was the first time I go there, so it was very interesting, the fact that you do not see one single Spanish flag. Of course, fresh paintly freedom graffiti everywhere. And then I came to surfing a wave. When I got back to Brussels, I flew off my bicycle in the city center. And it was not raining. It's been 5 years since my last fall. I'm a bit embarrassed, but... I am quite proud of that 5 year, and even more. I was very, very happy that, you know, people helped me out. I slammed on the ground, and you know, tout ça va, tutto bene. Are you okay?
We heard an ambulance in the background. Was there an ambulance there?
No. I got off. I got up, and I just dusted myself up and got back on the bike. and went on my merry way. But
is that an advantage, the fact that, of course, Brussels is and is becoming even more bike-friendly city? So where you had your fall, your accident, I mean, is it an advantage, I guess, that you had other people cycling around you that could help you? And, you know, it was, I guess you fell, let me know if I'm mistaken, but I guess you fell in a bike lane.
No, actually, I was not in a bike lane. I was in the city center, which is all pedestrian friendly. And, you know, bikes have that little turtle on it. But yeah, no, absolutely. I think it's a good thing, Matteo. I know you will not agree with me on this one, but I do think that we need more bike lanes in Brussels. You know, if that would have happened, for example, on the side of the street with traffic, I don't think there would have been people really helping me like that. It was just been cars honking and rushing by.
Yeah, indeed. On that, actually, about bike lanes and building more bike lanes, that's one of the first thing I noticed when I landed here in Brussels, how the works, construction works are progressing near the city center, near the area where I live, and where more and more bike lanes are being built. So I think that pedestrians and cyclists can be reassured that there's going to be more to be done in the next months and in the next years in Brussels for their safety. Well, this was about, you know, the Brussels time here in August. August is not over yet. Everyone complains about one thing when landing back in Brussels, which is the weather.
Yeah, no, absolutely, absolutely. It always welcomes you back. But, you know, the city, once it starts bustling again next week, because this is just the week after Ferragosto, and as most Italians will know, it's still picking up. At the end of the month, the institutions will open up properly for work again, so the whole ecosystem will start gearing up as well. We have a lot on the agenda in Q4 and wrapping up Q3 of this year. We have, of course, the next commission will have to be determined. Very unclear, because a lot of member states have just been sending one candidate male. And as we know, von der Leyen wants gender balance in her options. As well, defense is going to be very big on the agenda, both in terms of funding, but as well, I do think we're going to see a lot of sectors that are going to be designated as strategic, or if not the entirety of the sector, certain smaller parts of it, like cybersecurity for energy, which the president has already designated in her speech to the parliament in July. And of course, it will be the multi-annual financial framework to be defined as well, and all that cash flow that is vital for European industry and societies.
Yeah, indeed, the multi-annual financial framework, we can say it's the budget of the European Union, you know, the 7 years budget.
Yes.
Peter, you dived right in the politics that is going to be laid out in the next 4 months, in the last 4 months of the year. And I have the feeling that even when we are on holidays, it's sometimes difficult to switch off.
And very.
And you have that politics, probably also due to the fact that newsletters from newspapers and media outlets do not stop. They keep flowing in your mailbox. So I want to ask you whether, indeed, since you brought in the very important topic of what are going to be the main themes of the next 4 months, I want to ask you if you do really manage to switch off during your holidays break, or you are involved in this Brussels bubble that never really switches off.
Indeed, Matteo, it's very, very, very tough. I think we've seen the whole drama of who goes where on holiday and who gets visited by whom and when and for why. I'm thinking of Giorgia Meloni with all the local issues with the I balneari, which are essentially the people that sell you a little bed by the sea so you can go to the beach for 50 euros. The taxi drivers, and of course whether or not she'll send one of her best people to Brussels and risk a government reshuffle. But I do manage to switch off, and for me the trick is, Matteo, I just shut off my phone for 1 week if I can, or the first one third of my time off. Phone on do not disturb. I just check it at intervals and then get back to whatever is urgent and important. And if not, you know, if stay away from the news, even though I do love it. But if not, it really becomes very, very, very tough to do. And we do need to switch off at times to come back fully rested and ready.
Because there is a bit that FOMO, no? The fear of missing out on European news, you know, on who'd Belgium nominate as its commissioner, who'd Luxembourg nominated as its next commissioner, how is that with the gender balance?
Is so and so going to form their own party?
I mean, yeah. No, I mean, the idea to miss out on news and then coming back on the Monday, 26th of August to the office and, you know, not appear like you are the one that has been completely off and not knowing what's happening. That's a bit a recurrent theme, I feel, in the Brussels bubble. And I'm happy to know and to have listened that you have managed to completely switch off. On that regard, we are going to have a bit of a shorter episode because we're going to have still the feeling of holidays and leave that feeling over this to our listeners. And we're gonna wrap it up with our usual book, restaurant, TV series suggestions. Pietro, I'm gonna ask you to share your recommendations or what you have read or watched this summer.
Right, Matteo, thank you. So I've actually been reading a lot this summer. I wrapped up one book that I've been reading for a while, but I like to digest it in little pills because I found it very philosophical. And that was Clara and the Sun, which I think mentioned in our first episode. But then I went for the classic beach reading, The Noir, by Antonio Manzini, Rocco Schiavone, which is this detective based in Rome, gets sent up to Aosta and the Alps and the cold. Very atypical, progressive uomo duro, right? In Italian, what's that expression? Finto cuore di pietra. A fake heart of stone, but really well written and always keeps you guessing.
That's very interesting. I read a lot of this. I mean, Italian novel landscape on commissari, on policemen.
Vice Questori.
Oh, Vice Questori. I mean, all the police forces have a lot of reading in Italy. There are a lot of characters that have been developed by Italian writers that they have a lot of success in Italy. I don't know if this one is translated in English, but I mean, for our Italian speaking listeners, that's a good suggestion.
Absolutely. I just checked because I was just wondering that. I just checked it, and yes, they all translated into English, but if you're versed in Italian, I highly recommend the original, the native tongue of the writer.
My only suggestion, because I didn't watch Netflix, I didn't watch much of Netflix, I switched off also from Netflix and TV series this summer. My only suggestion is a book. I read several books this summer, but the one I really would like to recommend our listeners is 10 Maps to Understand the World.
By Tim Marshall, right?
Exactly, yeah. By Tim Marshall. There are several editions of it, but I read one of the most recent ones. And it's basically a book about geopolitics, or better, a book about how geography impacts politics and how it helps to read conflicts that are happening in the international stage. Mm-hmm. So the author is basically explaining throughout geography how natural borders, how natural conditions impact decisions that are related to wars, to engaging in wars, mm-hmm. to moving borders, or to have conflicts, and of course starts from the biggest country in the world, Russia, and then move on to the US, China, mm-hmm. Africa, Latin America, and mm-hmm. so on. Strongly recommended.
No, absolutely. I read that as well, and it's very graphic, it's very visual, so it's very easy to grasp, in my opinion. And also Marshall wrote new editions with technology, because for example, the Himalayas separating China and India, which have been a natural barrier, right, that between societies. So it's also about how societies form. But how is that changing as technology changes as well? Because when a human and a drone have different aptitudes to height and cold and endurance in those environments. So when's going to be the tipping point, right, that that technology is better suited for such a mission over humans. Will that change? How will that change those the geopolitics? Really, I found it very interesting. Yeah.
Great, Pietro. I think that our time is up. We thank our listeners, and
we'll see you next time with our second very important guest.
Thank you, everyone. We see on the 20. We actually meet virtually on the 25th of September for a new episode. And meanwhile, we wish you a restful last days of August and a good start of September.
And welcome back to Brussels.
Thank you, everyone. Bye.